Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
It's been said, don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. During times of uncertainty and fear and trouble, we often doubt and make wrong decisions. But next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell will challenge you to come back to a strong foundation by reminding you of things to remember. The song says it so well, we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How often we are tempted to despair or discouragement and to making the wrong decision. In the Christian life, we're on a journey. The journey sometimes contains twists and turns in the path, times of doubt and fear that cause us to get shaky and skittish like a sheep, and we need a shepherd. It's our shepherd that calls us back to his word to remind us of the foundational truths of our lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This Monday through Friday radio program comes to you and features the teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell today is teaching a series entitled Things to Remember, reminding us of the foundational truths of our spiritual lives. Before we join the message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. When you visit us on the website, be sure to click on the Contact Us tab and send us an email and let us know that our program is touching your life. We have a gift for you this month when you call or write to us or contact us. It's the mini book Done, a very clear presentation of the gospel that you can pass along to a friend. To receive this, simply give us a call or visit the website at dailyintheword.org. We begin this series in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, remembering our first love, a great challenge to come back in your heart to the first love of your life, Jesus Christ. Here's Paul Chappell.
But you know, it's a good thing when it's done properly and someone gets a review and someone says, oh, I need to improve in that area. I'm glad it was brought out to me. Now, let me tell you something, friend. I have preached for 20 years. I have tried to be faithful to the Word of God. And I have seen Christians, when God's word gives a review of their heart, get flat out ticked off. And I have seen others who said, wow, God loves me enough to tell me what I need to change. I'm glad I received that. Now, how you receive this message and what this message does in your life, it has something to do with how I have prayed and how I have studied. It also has something to do with how you have prepared your heart. And Jesus says to the church, I have somewhat against you. Your passion has lessened. My friend, if your passion has lessened as a Christian and this message doesn't bother you just a little bit, then you do not want God's best for your life. He said, your passion has lessened. He says, secondly, your witness has diminished. In other words, when you first got saved, all you could do is talk about Jesus. All you could do is tell others about Jesus. You wanted to invite people to church and give out gospel tracts, but now that's all changed. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. He says, your lack of love has taken you to a lack of works. You don't do what you once did because you don't love like you once loved, you see. I remember when I first got saved up in San Jose, California. That was back in the spring of 1972. I accepted Christ as my Savior, and shortly thereafter on a Wednesday night, they were asking for volunteers to work in the bus ministry. And I remember that night, I'd just been saved. I was 10 or 11 years old, and they said from the pulpit, we need someone who can volunteer to be a bus captain. Now, we don't enlist workers that way in the day in which we live. There's so many issues now with working with children and so forth. We don't just do it kind of like that, but that's how they did it then. And I looked around and none of the big people were volunteering, Brother Furso. None of the big people raised their hands. I was a little people, but I was a saved people, amen, person. And I remember looking around and no one raised their hand, and I lifted my hand. I said, I'll be a bus captain. I'll be a bus captain. And the bus director said, see me afterwards. I said, okay. I went over and saw him. He said, all right, here's what I'll do. He said, you come Saturday morning and you bring your bicycle. He said, I'll take over from there. I came Saturday morning. I brought my bicycle. We put it in his trunk. He took me over to Tully Avenue in San Jose, California. We took my bike out. He gave me a clipboard. On that clipboard, I was to put the names of everyone that wanted to come to Sunday school the next day. He said, I want you to knock on every apartment on this street, and I want you to ask people if they want their children to come to Sunday school and learn about Jesus. If they want to come to Sunday school tomorrow, write down their name and their address. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll pick you up at the corner in 2 hours. I knocked on every apartment for 2 hours. At the corner, he picked me up 2 hours later. The next morning, I got onto a bus. There was a real big people driver on the bus. I gave him the clipboard. I said, here's the clipboard, sir. We've got to pick up all these children. They said they want to come to Sunday school and learn about Jesus Christ. I have a certificate in my office indicating the fact that as an 11-year-old boy, that particular spring, by the grace of God, every single Sunday, I averaged bringing into church as an 11-year-old boy, 72 people every Sunday to God's house as an 11-year-old boy. Why? Because I was saved and I wanted other people to know how they could get saved, you see. You see, when you're saved, it's an exciting thing. The first love of that, you want to tell people how to get saved. Howard Hendricks said, in the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. There are people in your office, and all you can think about is how to make some more money off of them. And all you can see around is people that you can make another deal with, and God sees them as people that have an eternity either in hell or in heaven. And when you first got saved, that's how you saw people too, because it was your first love. Lehman Strauss writes this way, it's in your notes, a wife or a husband may remain faithful and may give evidence of careful attention in matters pertaining to each other, and yet there may be a decline in first love. Similarly, a church member may be very regular in his attendance at the services, but no amount of activity, however intense, can compensate for a lack of love. Now, I know somebody might be sitting here right now going, whoa, what did Pastor have for breakfast? Well, I had eggs and potatoes. Thank you very much. But I also had some Bible for breakfast. And someone might be saying, Pastor, I'm here. I put a check in this morning. What's the deal? You see, man looks on the outward, but God's looking where? And God's saying to us this morning, I'm glad you're here. You're doing good. I gave you the compliments, but I do have a concern, God says. Where's your heart in the matter? Has your heart drifted? Because we're not going to see 20 more years like we've seen these past 20 years if we don't have that first love. I'm talking about the kind of the first love where we throw the keys out of the car to get out and go soul winning, where we say, I've got to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the kind that says, I must tell my neighbor, I must tell my family. They've got to know about Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. First love. And the illustration comes to my mind of a couple when they're first married. And that's just a part of my life. In the summertime, seems like every Saturday there's a wedding. I mean, they're like 747s banking up coming into LA right now. Just wedding season is upon us. And it's fun when you have a wedding. For these young couples especially, they've remained pure and come to this place in their life where they're raised up in this church and coming to be dedicated as a couple for Jesus. It's an exciting time. And there's a first love about it. It's fresh. There's a sacrificial desire. I would do anything for my mate. Wednesday night after church, I think about 8:35, I was crossing Avenue I, and my wife and I were going to drive up to do a wedding in the state of Oregon. We drove all through the night to get there for the rehearsal the next day. And then we had the wedding. In fact, the wedding was for Dr. David Gibbs' youngest son, Jonathan, who's a student here at West Coast Baptist College, and for the daughter of Brother Mrs. Mark Lawrence, who lived there in Oregon. What a time that was. I think I have a picture of it here. Here we are out in the middle of the cow pasture here. Here's J.D. on the right. The picture doesn't show it, but coming down his face were tears of joy. Here's Janelle on the left. Tears of joy coming down her face. First love. They were expressing to one another, even with their look toward one another, I love you. I'm so glad that you'll be my wife. I'm so glad that you'll be my husband. I'm so glad that we're together. And I'm saying that there was a time in many of your life when that's how it was when you came to church. I'm so glad to be here to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Victory in Jesus. I love Jesus Christ. I love it when that choir sings. I love it when that preacher preaches. I just love getting to God's house. Why? You were in your first love stage. Are you still there? Are you still there? There was a lack of love. There was a lessening of service. He says, I see that there has been a leaving of your first love. You don't feel like you once did. You don't do what you once did. We see that in marriage as well. I heard about a husband who had surgery. He was coming out of the anesthesia. He saw his wife standing there. He looked through the fog and was pretty sure it was her. And he just looked at her and said, "You're beautiful." His wife was flattered. She continued the vigil at his bedside. Hour or two later, he came up out of it again, looked up over there at her and said, "You're cute." She looked at him and said, "What happened to beautiful?" He said, "The anesthesia's wearing off." Some of you in your marriage, the anesthesia has been wearing off. In your walk with God, the anesthesia has been wearing off. Once it was, "Boy, this is great. I love Jesus Christ. I love going to God's house. I love passing out gospel tracts. I love hearing good Christian music." And now, well, you know, there's a few hypocrites in the church. "Oh, why don't you come next Sunday? One more won't make a difference." I've been around some of the great Christians of this decade and these last couple of decades. I'm here to tell you, I haven't met a perfect one yet, this preacher included. I don't think it's about who goes to church. I think it's about who we're supposed to be worshiping when we go to church. A lessening of love, a lessening of service. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 24, 12 very quickly. I think you'll see what happens. Matthew 24, 12. The Bible says that Jesus speaks of the last days, and he's describing how people will grow in their hearts in the last days. And we saw this verse last week as it pertained to false teachers. But I want you to notice Matthew 24, 12. It says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." In other words, there's going to be so much wickedness in the world in which we live and so much iniquity and sin everywhere that Christians who were once red hot for Jesus, they kind of get cold, like a water poured on their soul. I wonder, is there some sin that has caused you to be less than excited about the things of God? Have you come nearly to the place of 2 Timothy 4:10 where Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world more than the things of God." He's departed unto Thessalonica. What a tragedy. Listen, if our heart grows cold like Demas, we'll be away from God. The Lord's compliments were very good, but the Lord's concerns are very real. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm in church, I do this, I do that." Hey, fantastic. But how is your heart for God? Because so oftentimes, the problem is a problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. Notice, if you will, the Lord's compliment, the Lord's concern, and now then the Lord's counsel. Now I ask you again, will you receive the Lord's counsel? Will you let the Lord review your heart? I hear Christians say sometimes things like, "There's no man's going to tell me what to do." That's okay. God bless your little pea-picking heart. But I wonder today, and I'm serious, would you let God tell you what to do? Because He wants to. And He says here in verse 5, Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. He says, church at Ephesus, you got some good things going on. You got some problems I see in your heart. So here's my counsel. By the way, the best counsel you can get is not from Dr. Snodgrass and not from Dr. So-and-so, and it's not from this psychiatrist and this psychologist. The best counsel we can get is from the very Word of God. Now here it is. Thus saith the Lord. Here's his counsel. Letter A, he says, I want you to remember. Remember. Remember from whence thou art fallen. He says, I want you to go back and remember where you once were. Some of you have been members here 16, 17 years. Wonderful. 16 days, some of you. Wonderful. But here's the question now. How many of you can remember where you were when you first got saved? From whence you are fallen. Because they were in first love, but now they've fallen to the place where they're still doing stuff, but not with the same heart. So he says, remember where you were. Now, I want you to think about it. This is an honest question. How many of you can remember the place where you were and the Word of God was open and you prayed to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and you say, Pastor Chapel, I remember where I was when I got saved. Would you lift your hand this morning? Okay, you may put your hand down. Now, excuse me. Salvation is the most life-changing event in life. Jesus says it is so life-changing that he calls it being born again. And I would never embarrass anyone, but I'm going to tell you something. If you are truly born again, you will remember where it happened. Hey, someone walks up to me today and says, Pastor Chapel, I see you're building a new building. Here's $5 million. Go build until your heart's content. After I fainted, pick myself up, I'm going to tell you what, I don't think I'd forget that day. I think until I was 95 years old, I would remember the day someone gave me $5 million. Anybody here wants to try just to see how my memory lasts? Let's give it a whirl, okay? Now listen to me. If you've been saved, and you who were once on your way to a Christless hell are now on your way to heaven, and the blood of Jesus covers your sin. Your sin is as far as the east is from the west, and now your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to tell you, if that has happened to you, you know when it happened. Okay, so he says, remember it. Go back in your mind and remember when you first got saved. You couldn't wait to read the Bible. You couldn't wait to go to church. You love what God was doing in your heart. You were in the first love stage. I remember when I first started in the ministry, about 23, 24 years ago. I was working up in Northern California there, Pastor Jack Treber. Brother Treber was a faithful man of God, still is, preaching. In fact, he'll be here 2 weeks from now at our conference. I want our church to thank him for his love and keeping us on medical insurance when we came here and so forth. Good man. I remember as a young assistant pastor going out, Brother Schmidt, to make a visit. And some people visited the church and they became members, but after a few years, they sort of stopped coming to church. They weren't being very faithful. I remember what they said. I was just new. I had never heard this before. I've heard it many times since. This is what they said. Well, the church has just changed. And I was kind of young and naive, and I thought, it has? I said, folks, now I'm just new in the ministry, but I said, honestly, he's still getting up there just preaching away, and he's still having these altar calls, and we took on some more missionaries last week, and we're still singing old songs about Jesus. And I said, I'll tell you what, it's exciting. I don't think it's really changed that much. Why don't you come on back? The church has changed. Well, okay. I said, well, I'm sorry. I kept trying a couple more times, but just no success. By the way, 30 years later, that same man, still preaching from the same pulpit, still preaching from the same Bible, still singing the same songs, still having Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, altar call, supporting more missionaries, more missionaries, more missionaries, just a whole lot more of the same, 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 same. By the way, that family, not even in church. No longer, their kids gone to the devil. If they're still married, I haven't seen them in probably 10, 12 years. I don't know. I'm just simply saying this. It oftentimes, sir, it's not your wife that changed, it's you that changed. It's not your church that changed, it's you that changed. Your heart changed, you left your first love, if you're still in love with Jesus, none of that would matter. You see. Be careful when you say, well, things have just sort of changed. No, no. Why don't you change and remember where you came from? See. Because sometimes when your heart changes, your heart, everything else around seems like it's different than it used to be. So God says, I want you to remember where you first were. Notice secondly what he says. He says, I want you to repent. Now notice this. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Let's just say that word together, shall we?
Repent.
One more time.
Repent.
Just try that one tomorrow at work. Oh, yes. How are you doing today? Repent. You don't hear that word a lot these days, do you? But here's what God says. Here's my counsel. I want you to remember where you were. And here's the logic of it. If we'll be honest about where we were, we'll realize, boy, I need to go back there. I need to go back to where I was. Going back means to change my direction. That's what repent means. And if you're here right now and you do not love Jesus like you once did, and the Christian life has become a motion where it was once a loving motion, then I encourage you to repent, to change your heart, to show forth a godly sorrow that works fruits of repentance, and then not only to remember where I was and to turn back to that, but then thirdly, to receive the words of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto all the churches. Let me tell you something. You get your heart right with God, you repent and get back to where you once were with God, all of a sudden, man, the preaching starts to sink in again, and revival's exciting again, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night service coming up at our anniversary. That's exciting. Why? Because a repented heart can't get enough of the Word of God. I don't have to drag baby Christians into God's house. I mean, you have to kick them out of here Sunday nights about 11 o'clock. They just like hanging around God's house. That's the way it ought to be. I'm saying when you're right with God, doing the things of God is much bigger time than the NBA playoffs. Just the things of God are so much better. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Listen to me. I'm almost done here. Listen very carefully. Is there a Christian here today that needs to say, Jesus, restore unto me the joy of my salvation? I want the first love back. I want the excitement of it all back. I want the thrill of it back. Is there a husband here today that needs to say, I need to love my wife like I used to love my wife. Stop saying she's changed and get back to where you used to be. Yeah, sure, she was a lot sweeter. You used to buy her perfume and roses and take her out to dinner too. Maybe you're the one that's changed. It's not always God's fault or the church's fault. Sometimes we're the one that has changed. Do you need to get back to your first love? Or is there someone here who's never been there in the first place? In a moment ago, you could not remember when you got saved. This is really profound, friends, but did you know you're sitting in this room right now because there was a day when you were born? Remember that day they smacked you? Welcome to the world. Whap. You're here because there was a day when you were born. Let me ask you something. Have you been born again? Are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? Because if you're not, you need to get that settled today. Father, thank you for this time to be reminded of the first love. As we look at the things that need to be remembered these next few weeks, please, God, stir my heart, stir the heart of our church. Let us be a first love church. Let us stay in love with Jesus Christ.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, and this message has been brought by Pastor Paul Chappell in a series, Things to Remember, challenging us to come back to the foundational truths of our lives. If we can help you understand what it means to trust Christ, to build your life on a foundation and a relationship with Him, please give us a call or contact us here at Daily in the Word. I'll give you that information in just a moment. If you'd like this message or this entire series, Things to Remember, it is available on our website, dailyintheword.org, or you can call or write to us. We'd love to send it to you on audio CD or MP3 CD. Again, it's the series, Things to Remember. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book done is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, what most religions don't tell you about the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.